Well, this is Taft, Sue and Claire. Named for Laredo Taft.
Okay.
It was an institution in Northern Illinois for decades.
Okay.
But it's still very beautiful.
It
and the land will still exist.
Welcome to Under Rocks. I'm Susan Stevens. On a beautiful fall morning in 2024, Dan Libman, Claire Buchanan, and I hosted a commentary writing workshop at Northern Illinois University's Laredo Taft campus in Oregon, Illinois. It's one of the last events at the Getaway in the woods. The university's closing it down as it grapples with a massive budget deficit. We wanted to take the opportunity to say goodbye to the historic artists camp, and it seemed like a good time to revisit an Under Rocks episode from 2021 you might have missed. But first, let's go for a walk.
What do you see, Sue?
I see lots of leaves. Yeah, so there are all these buildings everywhere. What are these?
These are built over time. I mean, unfortunately, I'm not I've heard them give this talk a few times, but I myself am not really an expert. This is the dining hall.
Okay.
Oh. Uh-oh.
I forgot to turn.
Claire's phone has arrived. Here's something I actually do know from listening and paying attention. This is called the Eagle's Nest, and it was named, this is the artist colony, was called the Eagle's Nest, and it was named for a nest of birds. Guess what kind?
Eagles.
You got it.
Good job.
It was in that tree right there, which fell down.
Ooh.
At some point, and then they've just preserved the area around which it fell. Used to contain an eagle's nest, but in 72 it toppled over.
Oh. And then they dragged it over here.
I guess they dragged it over. I guess it was not here.
How far are we from the statue?
Blackhawk is about maybe a half a mile walk over there. Not very far at all. In fact, you probably where you parked your car, you could see his backside.
So Claire and I were noticing like there's a luggage around.
Yeah.
This is used.
They're still doing camps up until the bitter end, I would say.
Okay.
It's middle school kids, they come and their memories for life. Future middle school kids aren't going to get this experience.
Aww. Taft House. So this is the one that he built, beautiful stone.
Yeah.
Okay.
The personal connection to me and my wife, Molly McNett, is that during COVID, NIU let us teach from here because our internet was terrible at our little farmhouse. And the internet's good here.
Aw.
This is the boots. This downstairs is apparently haunted.
Really?
Yeah.
What have you heard?
I was told by more than one person not to ever go down there, ever, but certainly not at night. And one person asked me if I felt if I could feel the presence even upstairs sometimes on certain nights. I can't, and never did, but, you know, I'm not superstitious and necessarily believe in it, but, you know, if you're told a couple times not to go into the basement, I just didn't go. I had better things to do, but I wasn't afraid.
Of course not.
But there's the Rock River.
Oh, whoa.
A lot of outdoor ed occurred here.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
My mother did outdoor ed here when she was in fifth grade.
As a teacher?
Mm-hmm.
Or no, as a student?
As a student, in the 70s.
You remember the Under Rocks episode about the baseball team, the Ganymedes?
Yes, I was trying to remember why I had looked up Ganymede recently.
That's the reason. And so this is the spring from which the baseball team took its name.
Whoa. Okay.
If it were still running.
Okay.
I'll show you the spot.
Okay. Oh, the spring is not running?
Yeah, the spring is not running.
Okay. And that episode was a few months ago, so I no longer remember what the word Ganymede means. Do you?
Abducted by the gods to serve as Zeus's cupbearer in Olympus. Homer described him in that thing he wrote.
Okay. So a cup, you would bring your Ganymede cup here and fill it up.
So you can see they've got all this, like, in all seriousness, these are just really awesome places to come and, like, learn things.
Yeah, so we're seeing, like, here in the woods, there's a circle of benches. Oh, with a fire ring in the middle.
And there are some teachers here who live here on premise.
What?
And they have for years. I mean, we'll walk past their cabin, actually, when we go see the what have you.
Okay.
Oh, Claire and Sue Stevens.
Yes.
look yonder through the trees. What do you see?
I can't tell. It looks like a cemetery.
Some sort of statue?
Or I think they call it a sculpture.
Oh, what is the difference between a sculpture and a statue? That's another show, I guess.
What is it, as we approach it, what does it give you vibes of, as the kids say?
It's giving cemetery.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Hundo P, as the kids say.
What? Hundo P?
Oh, yeah.
That one I don't know.
No. 100 pence?
Yep. 100 pence. Or a quid. 100%.
Oh, okay.
You're gonna give Whoa. The Under Rocks crew is gonna get a reputation for being elderly. Now, as we approach it, it's becoming a little bit clearer. How would you describe that? Like, what are you feeling?
I still think it's giving cemetery. I think somebody died.
I think we're at a
What
funeral.
Are they called when they hold the
Hundo
casket?
Pallbearers.
Pallbearers. That's what they look like.
You've got
yeah.
like six pallbearers. They are carrying a casket. I think that's right.
Yeah.
This is called the Seven Muses, the statue, sculpture, sorry.
Where's the seventh?
Oh.
Inside.
She got it. Hundo P. Each one of their faces are, you know, is characterized and it's kind of different.
They're different people, not just...
They're different people, and they look like there's different levels of engagement with the box. Like, look at this fella here. He's not even using two hands.
He's super strong. She is. I don't know.
That's a good question.
They're muses, aren't they?
Yes. Well, that's what the name is called. I don't know. We don't know for sure, but maybe that is right.
And the other vibe I'm getting from this is like 1800s. Mm-hmm. I mean, or early 1900s. This is very, very old.
Now, why do you say that?
It looks worn, mm-hmm. like worn granite, if you will.
It does look like that. It's actually cement.
Okay. And it's... Oh.
Yeah, it's cement. Which is why it's cracked like that.
Oh, okay.
And they did it in layers. They made it in layers, so which is why it's built up. It's the same thing as Black Hawk, not too far from here.
Oh.
And, well, actually, Sue and Claire, I got to speak with an art historian about this very sculpture just a couple years ago.
Do tell.
This is the funeral procession, or the Seven Muses, and we were given a tour by Jan Stilson, a former librarian at the Laredo Taft campus and author of the book Art and Beauty in the Heartland, the story of the Eagle's Nest Camp at Oregon, Illinois. She began by talking to Dan Libman.
So let's talk about this sculpture. This is very striking. I mean, it's always, everybody knows the Eternal Indian out there, but this is the one that to me is sort of, I guess we can figure out a way to describe it, but it's kind of Gothic looking and...
Yes, it's classical art. And when you first come upon it, such as we did today, it's impactful.
Yeah.
To see these people rising up out of the ravine, basically. And so the idea of this was to... Taft assigned this to his students in Chicago at the Art Institute. And they were to do a group setting assignment. And each one in the class was to be one of the models in this group.
Okay.
And this is what they came up with. And the original exhibit in Chicago had two mourners standing out front as well, hooded mourners.
So we should maybe describe it too, but I want to just go back to one thing mm-hmm. you said. This was a class prompt. This was something that the creative teacher assigned to the class, and they did it.
Yes.
That's something for the creative teachers. So it's looks like it's six people. I'm sort of like overwhelmed in terms of how to describe it. You have six people, and they're carrying a coffin mm-hmm. on their shoulders. They're mm-hmm. carrying it, and they're in various state of struggle. Most of them have their hands on it, but like that gentleman just has his hands down. He's just using his shoulders.
Yeah.
And the two up front are carrying. It looks like they're carrying most of the weight. Based on their position, they're draped in classical outfits.
Hooded.
Hooded, okay. Mm-hmm. So what's happening? What is this scene?
Well, death and sorrow, the end of things, also community. We do things together when someone dies.
Right.
And they're bearing their load of the grief and sorrow. And so it's a very dramatic figure. There was a grouping in the Louvre in Paris from the 15th century, not quite like this, but similar, with mourners in a casket and so forth. And Taft traveled extensively in Europe, so I'm sure he saw that.
Yeah.
And that maybe is where he got his original idea. Let's see how you present the idea of sorrow. And so this is what they came up with. The original structure was actually called the Mourners, and it was done in plaster. So it wasn't intended to be a permanent thing.
Okay.
And very likely, they probably destroyed the plaster, the students did, and used it to make the concrete. I'm just guessing on that, but
right.
I know that method was used when the Black Hawk statue was built. So it's entirely possible that they did this as an experiment, you might say. Nothing to the date of this had been done in concrete before as a monument.
Yeah, I was going to ask, it's unusual to
yes.
have concrete. I mean, I know Black Hawk is concrete.
Yes, it was at this time. And a lot of Taft's bigger structures, the Fountain of Time in Chicago, for example, is hollow.
Uh-huh.
And it has a basement and a plumbing system and a drain and all that.
Really?
This is solid, solid concrete.
Oh, it's all the way through.
Yes.
What about Black Hawk? Is he?
Black Hawk is hollow.
He's hollow?
Like the inside of a silo.
Is there plumbing?
No plumbing.
Because yeah. I always heard as a kid that, you know, they turned him around once a year
no.
so he could poop in the river.
No.
Oh, that's not true. Okay.
That's a joke I hadn't heard. I've heard others.
Oh, okay. That's the first thing I was told when I came out here. I saw on the internet that this is called Seven Muses. Is that not accurate?
That's a popular title that's been given probably by the students themselves or even by the people who come to Taft campus over the years. The Seven Muses were the enlightenment that led you into the arts, to
uh-huh.
appreciate arts. And so I think that's where they came from, that idea. And the seventh one, of course, is in the casket.
In the box.
Yeah.
The mourners or the carriers, the weight bearers,
mm-hmm.
that's their actual students that were modeled?
We think so. We don't have an awful lot of information about that, but I speculate that that's what Taft preferred, that if you're going to do something, you become the model for it.
Okay.
And you'll see that some of the faces are really rugged. This fellow over here with no hood on, he's really rugged.
Yeah, I mean, look how big his fists
yes,
are, but
yes.
he's not really helping much. He's kind of, I just am
well,
confused
I think
by what he's doing.
Extremely strong.
He's just giving his
yes,
shoulder.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And let's look on the other side. Let's
all right.
see if they're. Do we know if they're men or women? They look like.
I think they're all
really
men.
Tell. Yeah?
Because this one back here is bare chested.
Oh, well,
at the
yeah.
back. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right about that.
I think
okay.
they're all men.
Yeah.
The hoods, of course, give them that mystique.
I just was really struck by it, particularly by the expressions, the kind of the differentiated expressions each one has. You can see the struggle. They're definitely six different people. And it's really a somber, striking, quiet sculpture. It really is quiet.
It is quiet, but it says a lot.
Yeah.
It's very dramatic in its presentation. I mean, this whole thing is kind of wrapped up in mystery.
Yeah.
Because it was on display in Chicago, according to what I read, in 03 and 04. And then Taft and his family went to Europe for the summer. And the students were brought out here as camp boys to take care of the camp while a lot of the people were gone. And so they must have had the bright idea after they had all this time on their hands.
Yeah.
And did it, and Taft didn't know about it. And when he came home and saw it, he didn't like it. And I can show you why.
Oh.
First of all, he didn't know about it. Second of all, you can see where layers are. When they poured the concrete, they didn't do it well enough that it blended together. And so you have these cracks forming wherever the layers are.
Yeah.
And that weakens the overall structure. And
yeah, you can see here that it's a little bit chipped off.
Yeah.
This guy's back.
Yes. And I was up here 2 years ago, and this is far more deteriorated now than it was then.
I know that the Black Hawk statue also underwent some of this. And
yes.
there was a big move to restore it recently.
Yes.
Which was completed.
Exactly right. Well, this piece right here is much older than Black Hawk.
Oh.
So Black Hawk wasn't finished until 1911, and if this piece, we're not sure, but somewhere between 1902 and 1908 is when this was done.
Okay.
And it was not highly publicized because, like I said, Taft was unhappy with it. And but he did leave it here, and I'm glad he did. I know Taft Campus uses this monument as an educational tool. So when
in what way?
When the students are here in residence, they stop here and talk a little bit about art history and and methodology and so forth.
It's not like they don't threaten them, like you're going to be in the box if you don't follow the rules or anything.
No,
you're
going
to have to
like
hold the box up. And this, we should say, this is not in a place that is accessible to the public, so that sort of adds to the mystique of it. You can see it online, and if you're, you know, doing another program here at Laredo Taft, you could probably take a peek at it, but
yes,
that adds to the mystique of it. And you also wrote a book about this, right?
Yes,
and
yes.
So
yeah, I worked here as a librarian for a few years, and so I had access to a lot of primary material that the artists had left here. And then I went out to Washington, D.C. and met Emily Taft Douglas, the widow of Senator Paul Douglas.
Oh.
She's Taft's daughter. And so they gave me access to all kinds of original photos and documents and so forth. And so this is a book that explains a lot that other Taft books doesn't explain.
Okay. It's called Art and Beauty in the Heartland.
Yes.
By Jan Stilson.
Yep.
Hey, Sue.
Hey, what?
And Claire.
Yeah.
How can our listeners, if they've got a great idea of something that isn't closing next month, how can they tell us about it?
Let's see if Claire knows the email address.
You can email us at...
Which one? Do you want me to say it?
Sure, yeah.
Email rocks at niu.edu.
Thanks to Dan Libman and Claire Buchanan and Spencer Tritt, who you heard in our flashback. Now, the future of Laredo Taft was still up in the air as of this recording, including what's going to happen with the artwork. The word from NIU at this time is they're working diligently to create an appropriate plan that's respectful of Taft, the university, and the community. You can check WNIJ.org for future updates. Under Rocks is produced at Northern Illinois University by WNIJ.
I wonder who will get the cinnamon rolls. I mean, that should be, NIU should have promoted that. These are really good. And when I told you about it, Claire said, I don't know, I'm pretty picky about my cinnamon rolls, but what do you think?
I'm not picky about cinnamon rolls. I'll eat any of them.
Do you know anything about yes and when you're improvising? You don't. Yeah, just you go with the. All right. Well, she's not picky about cinnamon rolls, but.
But you're like,
okay. So you accuse her of being picky about cinnamon rolls and.
But, also as if, here's how it's done. Watch two pros do it. Sue told me a little bit before that she was super picky about her cinnamon rolls. But what'd you think about this?
Best I've ever had.
And that's someone who's real picky about cinnamon rolls.
You want me to do it again and be picky this
time? Let's see
what
you can do.
You know, Claire's really picky about her cinnamon rolls. She told me that earlier. But Claire, what'd you think about these?
These were great. They're near the top of cinnamon rolls that I've had.
Bye, cinnamon rolls.
I think it's a shame that you won't. I've never said this before, but I wouldn't cut a word of this, including this.
Yes.
Leave it all in.